The Boise State Public Radio app. News, music, and more.
Idaho Matters.
Morning Edition.
All things considered.
The Connector.
And more.
And more.
You can take us wherever you go and stay connected. Without it, you're missing out. Download it free.
You can also communicate using the Talk to Us tab.
The Boise State Public Radio app.
You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Caudette. Every year, the month of April is dedicated to child abuse prevention with powerful themes such as See Something, Say Something, and Stand Up to Child Abuse, as well as the iconic blue pinwheels that are a symbol for child abuse prevention and child abuse awareness. However, due to the coronavirus pandemic, all of the events here in Idaho for Child Abuse Prevention Month had to be canceled. But there are still things going on that we can all participate in virtually, as well as remaining hypervigilant about child abuse. Joining us live are Taryn Yates with the Idaho Children's Trust Fund, Abby Greenfield, a family specialist with Head Start based in Twin Falls, and Kathy Johnson with the Community Council of Idaho. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Gemma.
Thank you.
So, Taryn, I want to start with you. Let's just talk about Child Abuse Prevention Month. I mean, what is it and how is it normally observed here in our state?
Well, thanks for giving me a chance to brag about all the cool things we were going to do. Nationally, this comes out of the Idaho Children's Trust Fund is the state affiliate of Prevent Child Abuse America. And they've been doing this pinwheels for prevention in April as Child Abuse Prevention Month for many years now. And I couldn't tell you I wish I knew the starting year, but it's been as long as I've been around. And normally we have a lot of things going. Each of the regions has a regional leader that puts on a lot of great activities in their own communities. We have a governor's proclamation on the state house steps with a rally, and we do a kids fair. And, you know, of course we have pinwheel gardens everywhere, and we really try to get a lot of business involvement in putting pinwheels out. And of course we have things like Wear Blue Day, which was last Friday, and Thumbs Up for Prevention, which is where you paint your thumbnail blue. Mm-hmm. But just proclamations, a lot of rallies, a lot of walks, just a lot of people doing really positive things to build community and awareness.
So you really have had to pivot this year, but I do want to know about some of the activities that people can still participate in. I mean, even when you mentioned paint your thumbnail blue, I mean, we're all sitting at home, and maybe if you have some blue nail polish, you could do that and put it on social media, I would think.
Absolutely. And I would really strongly encourage people to do that. You know, there's still things we can do. At the heart of it, we really want people to feel like to do things that share that they know that this is important and they want to take part of this important month. So painting your thumbnails blue and posting a selfie, visiting. We have a lot of things going on this month virtually. That was our big pivot. We still have a lot of educational webinars that we'll be doing on Wednesday and Thursday. Under the circumstances, we thought really focusing on self-care would be important. So we have trainers that are specialists in self-care that we have, and we'll be posting videos from them, and just doing that kind of thing. So a lot of stuff virtually on the Idaho Children's website or the Idaho Resilience Project website, and our Facebook sites as well.
So Kathy and Abby, I want to bring the two of you into the conversation. And when you have to do a pivot like this, I mean, how difficult is that? Because this is so critically important, this information, yet now you're trying to get it out in a completely different way.
It is difficult. With Head Start, we've actually gone to calling our families instead of doing the home visiting segment of our program. And we've also, you know, let them know that routines during this upset time is essential in order to relieve stress from, because children feel stressed just as much as adults do. And I think routines are huge in order to keep their day going smoothly instead of creating chaos or just making it even more difficult than it already is.
Mm-hmm. And Kathy, maybe you can answer this. I mean, we know that the potential increases. There is a potential for increases in child abuse or maltreatment when there is a crisis going on, just a personal crisis, correct?
Right. And I think it's important for families to remember that this is not normal for them. And so this is a time when they can create memories with their children. Maybe they could all wear blue one day. Maybe they could look at a story that's on Facebook or something about children and families and love and what they can do. I think it's important that we support parents in letting them know just to love their children and to play with them and to breathe, have fun.
So Taryn, here's the thing with that, though, is as Abby mentioned, you know, they're making phone calls to their families now instead of those in-person visits. But this is not like any other crisis we've seen, because even when someone is going through maybe a personal crisis, kids usually go to school, right? They're usually interacting with other adults, maybe a teacher, a mentor, something like that. We are all isolated now within our own homes. So how in the world do we even know if something is happening within a family?
I mean, that's a real challenge, Gemma. And, you know, I think you and I are both in the position where we're trying to work with small kids in the house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, families like us with a lot of internal resources that are, you know, still have food in the house, we're still struggling. So I can only imagine what it's like for people that have a lot more insecurity. That insecurity is incredibly stressful, and it just takes up a lot of bandwidth. Mm-hmm. Which then you don't have that bandwidth to interact with your children, or you're more likely to be aggressive with your children and short-fused. And all of that's really worrisome. And at the same time, teachers are one of the main reporters. So we may see a sort of a troublesome drop in reporting because no one's interacting with the family. They're really losing some of that social connection. So, I mean, I'm not really sure what the answer is, except for, you know, if you do have some bandwidth to check in on the families around you, the families that are in your circle, mm-hmm. too, because those built-in reporters aren't there anymore. So we're going to have to take extra creative steps to take care of each other.
And Abby, since you've been able to be in contact with your families, you know, at least over the phone, how are people doing for the most part?
I think people are doing fairly well. I mean, a part of like what we do with Head Start is show that parents are their children's number one teacher. So we do a lot of education, but we also do we also check up on families, make sure that things are going okay, and can connect them with resources that maybe they need. I know there's lots of questions regarding the stimulus package. And it's so ambiguous right now, it's hard to answer those questions. So we just have to steer them toward websites and other information that's out there. We just try to make sure that we're in contact, listen to what they're telling us, and seeing if we can't help them in some way, and just be that concrete support in a time of need.
And we should note, I think it's very important to note that you know, child abuse and child maltreatment crosses all socioeconomic backgrounds. So I think it's also remembering that, and let's not try to stereotype this. But with that being said, where can people go right now if they are experiencing something within their home, or if you have checked in on someone and you're worried about them? What resources are there right now?
They can always call the Idaho Care Line or 211, and there are navigators there that can help them determine what the best resource within the state of Idaho, where they can go to talk with a professional or do some kind of counseling session online or something like that. I do know that those sort of resources are still available.
Another
resource is each other. There's families, we can check on our neighbors, and we can check on our cousins, and I mean, we can use the telephone and FaceTime. Those are very important too, to have that human contact.
And then I want to just circle back before we let you guys go about Child Abuse Prevention Month and the things that are going on remotely. Taryn, how do people tap into that?
Absolutely. So if I was, I would suggest everything's online now. You know, if you don't have a Facebook is sort of a key page here that we use. The Idaho Resilience Project has some great positive content, but also useful content on it. our page, the Idaho Children's Trust Fund page. We'll be putting up informational webinars on self-care, and there's just a lot out there on parenting tips that we're going to be sharing. So that would be the first place to go, the Idaho Resilience Project, Idaho Children's Trust Fund, and our Facebook pages. And we'll be sharing as many resources from other places as we can.
I want to thank all of you for joining us today. It is so critically important that we talk about this in normal times, but even more important that we are talking about this right now. So thank you, all three of you, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We've been talking with Taryn Yates with Idaho Children's Trust Fund, Abby Greenfield, a family specialist with Head Start based in Twin Falls, and Kathy Johnson with the Community Council of Idaho. Up next, we also know that domestic violence is on the rise during a crisis. We're going to talk about what kind of resources are out there as well. This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters.